open your Bibles. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. This, I believe, will be the last of the messages in this in the Lord's Prayer, specifically in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know about the series, but in the Lord's Prayer, Lord willing, this will be the last one. Matthew chapter 6. We've talked about, just to recap, there's five main things that I see, or like kind of five topics that I pull out of the Lord's Prayer. The first one being acknowledge. We acknowledge who it is that we're praying to. Who is it that we're praying to? He's our Father. He's our Father. He's in heaven with all the angels worshiping him all the time. Second one is submission. Submission. Not our will, but his will be done. We choose to go after his kingdom, not our own. We choose to go after his will, not our own. As Christine had the little chooser thing, his will over my will, whatever the case may be, that our chooser would be his will over my will. The third one is trust. Trust that we would give it, that he would give us this day our daily bread, but also that he would be the bread of life, the one who gives us eternal life, the bread of life. The fourth one today is forgive. Forgive. We talked about this, last week. We need to come into prayer with an attitude of forgiveness, recognizing that Jesus Christ has forgiven us, like we just prayed a little bit ago. He forgives us, but then Jesus gives us that warning and says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you. Now, this, it says other people. It doesn't say believers, although they would be involved in other people. But other people, that means even the lost when they sin against you. Forgive them or else. Somebody say or else. Or else. Your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So we come to him in prayer with an attitude of forgiveness. And the fifth one we started on last week, as we were talking about temptation in verse 13, the fifth one is sanctification. Sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 says this. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified. Sanctification is the process that begins right after the moment of salvation. Right after we make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And now he makes us a new creation at the moment of salvation. But how many know that new creation still has to put off the old way of living? That's right. Thank you. And instead to put on the new nature, which is created to be like God and true righteousness and holiness. That is a process that we continue to go through. Or in other words, putting on the new nature makes us more like Jesus. And so what is sanctification? It's a big churchy word. What is sanctification? If we look up that word, well, sanctified, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, again, what I just read, it's God's will that we should be sanctified. That word is the Greek word hagiosmos, and it means moral purity. Moral purity. And it comes from the Greek, from the root word, which is also a Greek word, comes from the root word hagios, which means to be separate or holy. So sanctification is the process of becoming holy, separated from living as the world does. And it's through the sanctification process that we see a change in our lives after salvation. It's as a result of sanctification that we can look at our lives and say, I'm not who I used to be. Oh, look, it, God has set me free from this. Oh, look, I'm able to do this now. I'm not stuck in this anymore. That process of sanctification, the results of that is what we see in our lives that shows us God is working in us. Amen? Yeah. And as Peter gives us the charge, believers, specifically the charge in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, he says this, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And in doing so, to live as one who recognizes that their citizenship is in heaven, which is a greater citizenship than any other citizenship we can have on this world. Amen? Even American citizenship. In fact, American citizenship means nothing when it comes to the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. God's not standing up there saying, Okay, you're a citizen of heaven, come on in. Okay, you're a citizen of heaven, come on in. Okay, you're a citizen of heaven, come on in. Oh, you're an American citizen of heaven. Double portion. No. No. It means nothing when it comes to the citizenship in heaven. Okay? God's not going to bless us any more than any other follower of Christ just because we're an American citizen. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the fifth part of the Lord's Prayer is about sanctification. God bless you. And as we learn to combat temptation in prayer, like we talked about last week, those tempting things that get in the way of what it is that we truly want. Remember, we talked about how we combat them. We combat them by asking for God's help. We combat them by praying God's word, by spending time with Jesus, and praying as a preventative measure that we may not fall into temptation. As we do those things, we build a relationship with our Lord, and God brings about the sanctification process in our lives, making us more like Him. Praise God. Praise God. All right. If you're there, did I give you enough time to get there? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to read this together today. Whatever translation you have, read it out loud. We're going to read, starting in verse 9 to verse 13. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the time that we've been able to spend going through the Lord's Prayer. I believe, God, that you are doing new things in our lives as a result of hearing your word and as of delving into it, God, as of studying it, Lord. And so I pray that you would continue to do that, Lord, as we continue to walk through this. Would you just take whatever you want to do today and put it in my mouth, God? Whatever it is that you want to say, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever's in front of my notes doesn't matter as long as it's what you want to have said, Lord. So God, speak today and help us all, including myself, to have ears that are ready to hear what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message today is Our Deliverer. Our Deliverer. Last week we talked about lead me not into temptation. And we talked about that from the perspective of lead me that I may not be led into temptation. We ask God to lead us that we may not be led into temptation. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that God provides a way out each and every single time that we are tempted so that we can stand up under it or we can crawl out under it, whatever translation you have, okay? But I want you to know he doesn't just provide a way out of the temptation. Verse 13, Jesus uses the word deliver. Deliver. Now, this isn't a pizza joint. He's not asking you if you want to have carry out or delivery. It's not that kind of deliver. Not that kind of deliver. The word deliver in verse 13 there of Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus says, deliver us from evil, or from the evil one, is a Greek word, ryomai, and it means to drag out of danger, to rescue or to save. Yeah, praise God for that. Can I get two volunteers? Two volunteers. All the kids are gone, so come on up, Jacob. Come on up, Anna, birthday girl. All right. You are going to be danger today. He's very dangerous. Okay. And you're just going to be you today. All right, so come over here. Okay. So sometimes as we're going through life, whether it's our birthday or not, sometimes as we're going through life, we can get caught up in some things of this world. We can get tripped up. We can maybe forget what the truth says about something that we're dealing with. Maybe we can fall into a temptation or an addiction or a bad relationship or the wrong way of thinking, whatever the case may be. And when we do, we've put ourselves in a place of danger. What was it? Crocodile Hunter. What was his name? Steve? Steve Irwin. There we go. Yeah. Steve Irwin. He would say, what kind of danger can we get into today? Danger, danger, danger. Not that kind of danger. We don't want to get into danger like that, okay? But sometimes when we do that, when we find ourselves in a place where we're getting caught up in something that we shouldn't be in, and we kind of feel a little bit trapped, I'm going to have you stick out your arms. Yep, yep. And he's representing danger today, okay? And so we get caught up in this, and this is where we're at. And we're like, oh, man, I'm stuck. I'm trapped.
Very much stuck.
Yes. You are in a dangerous place. You are in a dangerous place. And so that word deliver, you're going to have to let go. That word deliver is when Jesus comes and delivers us. He drags us out of danger. And he says, nuh-uh, danger. Nuh-uh. Yes. He brings us out of that. That's what that word means. To deliver us is to drag us out of danger. And that's what Jesus does for us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Now, there's a good kind of dragging and a bad kind of dragging, okay? And that means cigarettes. Not that kind of dragging. Don't be a drag. Yep. There was a sign on the, I said, probably my ninth grade health class wall that said, do you want to be a dragon lady? And there's a picture of a lady who was smoking. Anyway, there's a bad kind of dragging away, and there's a good kind of dragging away. Okay, the bad kind of dragging away is James 1:14. He says here, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. They are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. How many know if we didn't have, if we couldn't be dragged away and enticed, temptation wouldn't even matter to us. If it wasn't for those evil desires that are in our flesh, we couldn't even be tempted, okay? So the bad kind of dragging away is each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. But the kind of dragging that God does, the good kind of dragging, is for safety, is for our rescue. If you've seen the movie Fireproof, Kirk Cameron in that movie is an actor, he's a firefighter, and he's going into a burning house, and this little girl is passed out unconscious from the smoke inhalation. And he grabs her, and he's trying to get her out of the house, and he can't get back out the front door. And so he takes this axe, and he's chopping the floor, and he opens up the floor so he can crawl out underneath the floor. And he's got this girl, and he's dragging her unconscious underneath the burning building to get her out, to drag her to safety. That's a good kind of dragging. Amen? If you're in a boat, and there's someone out there in the water that's drowning, and you got one of those round life preserver things, you throw it out there to that person who's drowning. And they get a hold of that, and then you're able to drag them back to safety, away from where they were drowning at. That's a good kind of dragging. Amen? Psalm 18 and verse 16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says that God reaches down from on high and takes hold of us. He draws us out of deep waters. He draws us out. Friends, this is who our God is. He is a deliverer. He is a deliverer. In fact, a few verses before that, in Psalm 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Oh, guys, you know that one. That's good. So, therefore, asking God to deliver us is a good thing because it's who he is. It's okay that we ask him, God, help me, deliver me from this. That's who he is. And guess what? He wants to deliver you and I from what keeps us from living for him. He is our deliverer. And that's what we're asking him to do as we pray, deliver us from evil or from the evil one. Let's talk about evil for just a minute. We don't want to spend too much time on that because the Bible says we're supposed to be innocent about what is evil. Romans 16:19. But isn't evil just the opposite of good? You've heard that, haven't you? Doesn't evil have to exist in order to balance out good? You heard that too? Understand this. There is no balance between good and evil. No balance. The mindset that there has to be evil in order to have good, or there has to be good in order to have evil, is an Eastern mysticism belief. It's a pagan belief. Okay? It's what's symbolized in the yin-yang. Okay? This is not of our Lord. This is a false teaching. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is this. God is the one who alone brings balance into this world, into this universe. He doesn't need help. He doesn't need help. It's not Anakin Skywalker that brings balance to the Force, okay? It's not anything else. It's not evil. Paul said that God is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's Colossians 1 and verse 17. Somebody say, In him, all things hold together. Oh, good. You agree with me. That's good. Mental note. Every time I want them to agree with what I say, I have to have them repeat it. Okay, got it. All right. And all authority, somebody say all authority, in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus, the one who has won the victory over death and hell. That's Revelation 1 and verse 18. I like the Amplified version better. It says, the one who has absolute control and victory over death and of Hades. Absolute control and victory over death and Hades. And he has the only keys. The only keys to death and to Hades. He has the only keys. Evil doesn't have to exist for good to be balanced out. And so what is evil? Evil is rebellion from God. It's rebellion from God. It's whatever is not going after God. The Greek word means bad or unsound for evil there and deliver us from evil. It's ultimately sin. And it does separate us, but not from the world. It separates us from God. You want to be separate from the world and a friend of God, or do you want to be a friend of the world and separate from God? Cain and Abel in the Old Testament in Genesis. Cain had sin crouching at his door. Crouching at his door. And while God said that he must rule over it, how many know God wouldn't say you can rule over it if we couldn't rule over it? He said, you must rule over it, Genesis 4, 7. Cain rebelled from doing what was right. He was angry with his brother because his offering was accepted and Cain's was not. And so he killed his brother Abel. And ultimately, in that form of rebellion, he went out from the presence of the Lord. He rebelled against God. Now make no mistake, there is power in the camp of the enemy. There is power in the camp of the enemy. And it's fueled by those evil desires that James 1 talks about that causes us to be dragged away and enticed. But friends, the enemy's power cannot touch the power of our living God. It cannot touch it. Three of you agree. That's good. Four. Okay. Think about in Job, Satan had to ask permission to do the things that he did to Job. There is no balance between good and evil. Yet even after us believers, we make the decision to receive salvation and God begins that work of sanctification in our lives, we can still be dragged away and enticed and brought under the power of the enemy. And like we talked about last week, we can't overcome this temptation or the enemy on our own. We don't have the strength to do it on our own. We can't just man up or woman up or pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and get over this, whatever it is that we're dealing with. We need his help. Somebody say we need Jesus' help. He's the only one. He's the only one that can help us to resist temptation and deliver us from evil. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to call on him in prayer. We need to resist temptation. We need deliverance from what doesn't make us more holy, more like him. But the question is do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be brought out of danger? Do you want to be delivered from what's evil? Now, we may say generally, yes, that's true. But maybe there's some things in our lives that it's like, well, I do this most of the time, but then there's this one thing that I do that I really kind of enjoy. This thing really feeds my hunger. It satiates me. It takes care of the things that I need. So do we take Jesus and something else? Jesus and our addiction. Jesus and an immoral relationship. Jesus and whatever our sin is in our lives. Jesus said, we cannot serve two masters. It's one or the other. Are you aware of the dangers in your life? Last week we talked briefly about Proverbs chapter 7. The youth who lacked sense. And in that story, there's this father who's writing it down for his son. He wants his son to have wisdom. He wants his son to avoid the perils of what he's about to talk about. And so this father says in Proverbs 7, verse 7, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. Do you remember as a youth that you had no sense? I know I do. I was just going to say, yeah. How many know as adults we can still not have sense? Yes, that's right. A youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, he's walking in the path of temptation like we talked about last week. And what happened? Whether he meant for it to happen or not, an adulterous woman came out and she began to seduce him. She began to drag him away, tell him all these things, until he followed her, giving in to temptation. We can be walking along in life, or maybe sitting in front of the computer. Maybe we're looking up a YouTube video or watching a YouTube video, and we just happen to let our eyes go over to that side column over there where there's like a bunch of these little squares of other videos. And sometimes the picture at the very top is not a good picture. But I'm watching this video, but this picture over here is not good. And so I'm watching the video, and then I'm like going over there, right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know it can happen. I know you agree. Or maybe we're checking out someone's post on Facebook or on what was previously called Twitter, X. Should be easier to remember, X. Instagram, Snapchat. Or maybe we're searching the internet for something in that lovely Google autocomplete. You start typing something in and it just starts filling it out there and you're like, oh, what's that about? Right? And it piques our interest. And before we know it, our evil desires can rise up and we can be enticed. We can be enticed by what's on there. Do you know what happened to this youth who lacked sense? He lost his life in the process. Verse 23 says, an arrow pierced his liver. That, let me just read it to you. Proverbs 7, verse 22. It says, all at once he followed her, that is the adulterous woman, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into the noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. You know, now you and I looking at this situation, based on what we talked about last week, we could say, we both know that the result could have been different. If perhaps this youth had sense to pray, had the sense to pray, to ask for God's help, to pray his word, to pray as a preventative measure, maybe things would have been different. But in the midst of temptation, we don't always have the sense to do what's right, let alone pray, do we? So God not only provides a way out, but he's also our deliverer. The one who was able to drag us out of danger. There have been many times in my walk with the Lord where knowing some of the scriptures, I don't know them all, but knowing some of the scriptures has helped me to avoid giving into temptation. The Word of God, the Word of truth, is like, in the midst of temptation, can grab us and pull us out. That Word, when we're in the midst of temptation, a word comes to mind. Your words have I buried in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119. Those words can be what drags us out. What drags us out of that? If we know the truth can do what? Set us free. Set us free. Thank you. I'm so thankful that God doesn't just only provide a way out, but he stands there and he reaches in and he grabs a hold of us. He grabs a hold of us. This is our God. Psalm 32, verse 7. This is cool. Someone just quoted this earlier when we were praying. I think it was Judy. You are my hiding place. Psalm 32, 7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Surround me with songs of deliverance. Not only does God open up a way for us to get out of temptation, not only does he stand there at the door and reach in, but he sings over us in a much more majestic voice than I can sing, or anybody else in this room for that matter. But I love that picture. He stands there. He reaches in, if we'll let him. He drags us out, and he sings over us because he loves you. What's a danger in your life? It could be a temptation. It could be an addiction. It could be wrong patterns of thinking. This is one that I get stuck in. Wrong patterns of thinking. It could be a relationship. It could be too many things on your plate that cause you to be worn down, cause you to become susceptible to temptation and sin. Rather than having God be that hiding place where he brings you in and protects you from trouble, from danger. What keeps you from following the Lord and how you live? Ask yourself this. Is it in my heart that I don't want to be led into temptation? Is that what's in my heart? Is it in my heart that I want to be delivered from evil? Is it in my heart? Maybe again we'd say, yeah, that's what I would say generally. But there's certain things that I'm like, I kind of like this. I kind of want to stay in this. And I'm not ready to be delivered from the danger yet. If it's not your heart, then pray until it is. Pray until it is. And God answers that prayer by sanctifying us, by setting us apart, by making us holy to be more like him. And he who formed you, church, he who formed you is able to bring this about in your life. But hear this. God isn't going to bring about sanctification in your life if you keep going back to the same mud that pig went back to. If you keep eating the same vomit that the dog went to. It's Anna's favorite verse in the Bible, Proverbs 26:11. A dog returns to its own vomit. God can deliver you again and again and again, but he's not going to bring sanctification in your life if you keep going back to those same places. Love the way you're shouting today. And so how we answer that question, do you really want to be delivered from the danger, will determine if God is going to bring about sanctification in your life, at least in those areas, or if you're going to stay where you are. Here's our main point today. God is able to deliver those who pray. God is able to deliver those who pray. He wants to. God is able to deliver. The question is, do you want to be delivered? If so, then pray. As we close today, ask yourself, will you allow yourself to be dragged away into the danger, dragged away by your evil desires, or will you instead reach out to God? Allow God to reach out to you. He is. He's reaching out to you. Will you allow yourself to be dragged away, or will you allow God to reach out to you, to drag you out of those dangers that you find yourself in and back to that place of himself? Amen. You got something, Judy? Psalm 18? Okay. He delivers me because he delights in me. Praise God for that. We got to remember that no matter what the struggles are. We talked about earlier. Yeah, we did talk about it earlier. I was praying it earlier. Our identity comes not from the things that we do, whether good or bad. Our identity comes from the fact that he delights in us. He rescues us out of danger.